Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
In the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. I'm so glad that you've tuned into the program this morning. My name is Brent Russett. I'm the lead pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church, and I've been pastoring there for 28 years. One of the things I love to do is show how God's Word that was written so long ago connects with our world right now. Now, I know that some of you who are listening have followed Jesus for a long time. I'm glad that you've tuned in. I hope this is an encouragement to living out your faith. I know others of you who are not really sure about this Christian thing. You think of yourself as spiritual, but you're not sure. And I just want you to know that you're welcome to listen in, because I hope that this will help you on your spiritual journey. Some of you are just thinking, I'm curious about what people of faith think. Well, maybe this program will be helpful in informative to you as well. I believe that God can help each one of us in a program like this to take another step closer to Him. This morning, I want to walk you through the book of John. Now, that's the fourth book in the New Testament in the Bible, and I'm going to camp out on two verses near the end of John. It's about experiencing life. Simon Sinek, in a book titled The Power of Why, has said that most companies know what they do, some know how they do it, but few companies understand why they do it. A company might understand that they make computers, they may understand the process of making computers, but why? And bottom line profit isn't enough. It's the why that inspires us. So companies that start with why tend to be game changers. So he gives Apple Computers as an example of a company that starts with why. Well, the Apostle John came 2,000 years before Simon Sinek, but he understood the power of why. This is what he wrote near the very end of his book, John chapter 20, verse 30. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John says, I've written these things. Why? So that you might have life in the name of Jesus. How? By believing that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. The why of the book of John, the why of the gospel, is that you can have life in his name. Now, as you might guess, as a pastor, I talk to a lot of people about the Christian life. I even talk to a lot of leaders about the Christian life. I was recently talking to one leader I was trying to get from them, they were a growing leader, and trying to get from them what's the purpose of the gospel? And for her, the whole purpose of the gospel was getting into heaven. Well, the gospel does that. I talked to other people who seem to believe that the whole purpose of the gospel is about helping us to be good. It makes us moral people, and I hope it does. But that's not the gospel's primary purpose. I've talked to other people who seem to think that the purpose of the gospel is about faith or Bible reading or prayer or going to church. And all those things are good and they're important. but they're a means to an end, not an end in themselves. The end is that by believing you may have life in his name. We're looking at those two verses near the end of John's, but this theme comes up again and again all the way through John. So I want to trace that this theme with you through the book of John. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And then catch this. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. John starts out in the gospel talking about life. He states it very clearly. Life is found in Jesus. In him was life. As one commentator put it, Jesus Christ, the Creator, provides physical life. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, provides spiritual life. Jesus Christ, the Savior, provides eternal life. Life is found in Jesus. In him was life. But more than that, John goes on to say, this life was the light of all humanity. Light and life are made equivalent terms. Light is a theme that we'll see all through this time. Life represented good versus evil. Light and darkness, light represented truth as opposed to the chaos and of lies and falsehood. This life is found in Jesus, and it overcomes evil, and it is the truth that guides us through a cacophony of lies. This life is found in Jesus. In him was life. Now remember that John wrote this book so that by believing you may have life in his name. The gospel is about you having life. If you have the life of Jesus, you have what it takes to battle the darkness. Not because of what you do, but because of what has been given to you. Life and light. If you have the life of Jesus in you, you have the ability to live out the truth. You have the ability to be authentic. Or you have the ability to be the person who God has really made you to be, all of who you were meant to be. You live a true life rather than have to live out of a false sense of self. The life the Bible is talking about is when God's life flows into our life. He is the vine, we are the branches, and God's life, God's Spirit, God's very presence flows from him into us. We are connected to the author of life. We are enlivened by the author of life. We are filled with real life. The reason why Jesus says in John chapter 3 that you must be born again is that it's a new kind of life. See, we're born spiritually into God's life, into us. Now that we have, you know, we've seen John trace light and life, let me introduce a familiar passage of Scripture to many of you. And when Jesus introduces the phrase eternal life is not talking about heaven. It's talking about a life that starts now and extends into heaven. Here are the words of Jesus, John chapter 3, verse 14. It says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Now, I obviously can't unpack this whole passage, but again, the theme of believing brings life. Verse 15, everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Verse 16, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But Jesus then goes on to riff on light. Light, which remember is synonymous with life and with goodness and with truth. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. In other words, not everyone wants life. Not everyone wants light to come to bear on their life, because when God shines his life on our life, then we see everything. We see what our sin is exposed. We're exposed. And many of us would sooner hide. We would sooner live in darkness. You see, the theological term of darkness is sin, and we've all sinned. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sin is anti-light. It is anti-life. But verse 21 says, "But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." In other words, for those who want life, we come into the light and say, "God, this is the truth of who I am. You can see what I've done, the good, the bad, the ugly." And God's life exposes who we are, and He takes care of the darkness. He erases the darkness. He shines into the all the corners of our lives and says, "You are forgiven. Let me give you my life." But remember how we get life. It was told to us here, whoever believes may have eternal life in him. It's about coming to God with all of who we are, exposing our life to God, and trusting Jesus to deal with the falsehoods and the darkness. And he deals with their sin, and he brings us into life. We're going to listen to the music from the Heart of Worship album, Light of the World.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God, and you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so high. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to
I want to take you now to John chapter 10. Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. He talks about leading his sheep and keeping his sheep safe. And here's what he says in John chapter 10, verse 10, one of my favorite verses. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. It is like there's a cosmic battle over you. The thief, Satan, the father of lies, the wellspring of evil comes, and his desire is to steal and destroy and kill. But Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. All the way through John, we're given glimpses into this cosmic battle of light versus darkness, truth versus lies, life versus death. But this cosmic battle is not just waged in the heavenly, it's waged in each one of our hearts. And we choose life or death. We choose light or darkness. It is a huge cosmic battle. It's a battle for your heart. And Jesus says, I've come that you might have life. I want you to have real life, full life, abundant life. He wants you to know the life that is in him. For when you know that life, it will allow you to live out all of who you were meant to be. I want to take you to one more passage of Scripture in John before we get back to our main text. John chapter 14, verse 6. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, usually when this verse is used, it's used to show the exclusivity of Christ. He is the way, the truth, the life. You don't get to the Father except through him. And that's a perfectly legitimate way to view this scripture. But that being said, sometimes we miss what is being said when we focus on that piece of the verse. What Jesus is saying here is the way to God is not found on a map or in an instruction booklet. It is found in the person of Jesus Christ. The truth is not found in a philosophy or a series of premises or even in a book, although they can point towards truth. The truth is found in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. The life is not found in being rich or being talented or being skilled or being famous. It's found in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. This is important because it brings us back to the core of the Christian faith, the person and work of Jesus Christ. You know, some try to make the core of the Christian faith the church. And while the church is vitally important, it's not the core. Some people try to make morality the core. And while good works and doing right and the right thing is good, it is not the core. Some people try to make the Bible the core. And the reality is that the Bible is super important. It teaches about who Jesus is, but it is not the core. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is at the core of everything. So back to our main verse. John chapter 20, verse 31. But these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Notice where life takes place. You have life in his name. The name is representative of all that Jesus is. You have life in Jesus. Now, in some ways, up to this point, I've been very theoretically, but I want to give you an overview of the book of John as it pertains to faith and life. But John didn't write the book so that you could have a theoretical view of life. These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The gospel is about life. It's about you having life. It's about you experiencing the life of God. Jesus came that you might have life and have it to the full. It's about being connected to God, having his life flow through us. It's about his presence, his essence in us. So what does that mean to you and me? Well, first of all, it gives you a different measure of answering the question, what is sin? We all know some of the laws, don't steal, don't gossip, don't slander, don't bear false witness. We get that. See, the reason why God has given us his law is to keep us away from the things that bring death. Sin brings death. When you break God's laws, it brings death. The wages of sin is death. You get that, right? God isn't trying to kill your fun by giving you the law. No, he's trying to keep you from drinking the poison that will hurt your spirit and kill your soul. Jesus came to deal with the poison of sin in your life. And he comes and he offers forgiveness. And if you receive it, he forgave you of your sins. And more important than that, he wants to remove your sin because it's sin that gets in the way of real living. Now, God is about life. The gospel is about life. The reason that God hates sin so much is that sin is anti-life. If we value real life, we will hate sin because it robs us of so much and it grieves the heart of God. But if you get that the gospel is about life, then that will help you to look at your own life in a different way. See, we make choices all the time that are give life or don't. And we make choices that go against life sometimes, but sometimes, you know, you look at it and, well, you know, I'm not sure. Is that right or wrong? And I'm going to give you some examples for me, but they may be different for you because we're different kinds of people. But I love to watch football. I find watching a game is a great way to relax and recharge. And, you know, watching two games in a row, well, that's okay. Watching three games in a row, come out of there feeling, blah, haven't done anything with my day. I don't feel recreated, feel like a bump in the log. Now, I can't really point to a scripture and say, well, watching three games of football in a row is wrong. But I know from experience that it's not life-giving. It takes away from life, and the gospel is about life. And I'm doing something that takes away from life, well, it's anti-gospel. You know, the same could be said for Netflix binging and all other kinds of binging that doesn't bring life. If the gospel is about life and we're doing something that is bringing the opposite, it is anti-life, anti-gospel. See, I find that helpful because there are times in life when life is just hard, right? Work is stressful, family is stressful, life is hard. We live in a world that wars against life. And if you read through the Psalms, you'll find that the psalmist knew what that was like. They looked to God to restore them, to sustain them. But sometimes this world doesn't give you a choice. You walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and it's hard. And you look to God in those times. Sometimes this world is just anti-life, and we look to God to sustain us through that. But when we choose the stuff that brings death, well, that's a different problem. I don't say that by the way of condemnation because God knows I've made a lot of those bad decisions myself. But I say it as a way of information. Do you want to live in a way that is constantly poisoning your soul? I don't think so. So live the gospel. Death is anti-gospel. Jesus is about life. But sometimes people try to choose life without choosing Jesus. But that doesn't work either. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. It is by believing in Jesus that you have life in Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You can't choose life without choosing Jesus. This helps me too, because it is quite easy to make an idol out of life. If you're going to live life to the full, I'm going to grasp all the life there is, YOLO, you only live once, so you might as well go for it. But that adrenaline rush and you doing the extreme activity of your choice is only an adrenaline rush if it's built on top of a broken soul. When the adrenaline is gone, you're still left with a broken soul. But when Jesus comes into your life and you're allowed his light to shine into the dark corners of your life and sweep away the darkness, you've allowed him to see your sin and forgive you of your sin. When you have invited him into your life and he has put his Holy Spirit in your life, you have the sense of a belonging. And when he has made you spiritually alive, and then you have an adrenaline rush. Well, then the adrenaline rush comes. And when it comes to an end, you're still spiritually alive. You're still forgiven. You still belong to God. You're connected to God. You still have real life. There's a reason why Jesus says in Mark chapter 35, "Forever who wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it." See, you can't have life without Jesus. He is the one who builds the foundation for life. He is the one out of which life grows. That too helps me because Jesus isn't one-dimensional. His greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The life of the gospel is meant to permeate our hearts and our souls, but it's also meant to enliven your mind and our bodies. If you put your faith in Jesus, giving your life to Jesus, then your devotional life, your study life, your physical life, they're all God's. So let me come back to this main verse. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That the why of the gospel is that life is found in Jesus. It was meant to enliven you and to flow into eternity. The how of the gospel is that you believe in Jesus. This morning, as I've been talking, you may be sensing that you would like to have what Jesus is offering. He offers this life to you as a gift, and a simple prayer made in faith puts that spiritual reality into motion. Praying a prayer like, Jesus, I believe in you. Please forgive me of my sin. Shine your light into my life. Come into my life. I want your life in me. Help me to really live like you have promised in your word. Lord, I give my life to you so that I can have your life. When you pray a prayer like that, it doesn't have to be those words, but trusting Jesus, inviting him into your life, and choosing to follow him, God has a way of making that life become a reality in you. For those of you who have walked with Jesus for a long time, but you're not feeling that real life right now, some of us kind of are like the man who came to Jesus and asked for a miracle, and he said, Jesus, if you're able, would you do this? And Jesus says to him, if I'm able, all things are possible for those who believe. And so the man says, well, I believe. Help my unbelief. Some of us are at that point where it's not so much a binary believe, not believe, but yeah, I believe, but there's still areas where I need to, in my life, where I need to believe God for real life and to restore real life. I want you to know that God wants to speak faith into your life today, and you can ask him about that as well. See, God has a plan for your life, and he wants you to thrive and to grow. In him is life and life to the full. He has come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Will you reach out in faith and put your faith in him? Because the gospel is about life. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, thank you for people listening. And Lord, I ask for those who want life in your name that they would open their life up to you and put their faith in you. I ask, Lord, that you would be able to allow them to have a sense that you're very close. As they open their life to you, I ask that you would come into them and just give them a sense of how close you are. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for listening to Good News in the Morning this morning. This program is on the air by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. My name is Brent Russett, and it has been a privilege to bring you Good News in the Morning.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart. And may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with his constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.